Our scripture reading this morning, we will be reading Romans 13, 11 through 14, but I also would like to read first Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. So let's turn there first. That's on page 942. So we'll begin with Romans 6 and the first verse through the 14th verse of the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Hear now God's Word. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. And now, if we flip over to chapter 13, on page 948, we'll read also Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Thus we've read God's holy word from the book of Romans, chapter 6 and 13. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, this is Your word that we have just read. We thank You for it, that You have revealed Yourself to us in it. And we ask that You would bless the reading of Your word this morning, and that You would hide it in our hearts, that You would accomplish Your purpose through its proclamation this morning, that Your people would be edified and Your name magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 is where we will be taking this sermon this morning, but it's important to be reminded that Paul is building off what he said before. He has laid the theological foundation in the first 11 chapters, and now he's drawing out practical applications. And I hope that you can see how chapter 13 is building off chapter 6, of how here he's calling us to cast off sleep and the work of darkness, and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on the armor of light, and how that reflects exactly what he's told us in chapter 6. That you were buried with Him in baptism, so that you can be free from sin, and now reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That now that we are dead to sin, can no longer live in it. As the first verse of chapter, or the second verse of chapter 6 tells us. But to walk in a newness of life, verse 4 of chapter 6. This is what Paul, I think, is building on here in Romans 13. As he tells us, now that you know the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, to cast off sleep. Because sleep is where we don't know what's going on. When you're asleep, you have no idea what's going on around you. And the only way you do know is if somebody wakes you up, or some noise wakes you up, and then you start to get your senses and you think something just happened. What was that? But if as long as you're asleep, you have no idea what's going on. You're oblivious to the world around you. And we sleep in darkness, usually. The day ends, we go to bed, but now Paul is saying it's time to cast off that spiritual slumber where you're oblivious to the truth of sin and the truth of Jesus Christ. Now that you've been saved, you're awake. You can't continue to act as if you're asleep. And sleep is also often used in the Scriptures as a euphemism for death. And I think we can read that the same way, which I think is what he does in chapter 6. Cast off death. Because you've been raised to a newness of life. You were buried with Him in baptism, and now you walk in the newness of life with Christ Jesus. Cast off the sleep of death. That's your former condition, when you were dead in your sins and trespasses. But God has made you alive. Now walk in the light of day. Walk in the life eternal with Jesus Christ. And thus you have to cast off the works of darkness. Verse 12. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Because now that you're saved, you can no longer live in the same manner you did before you were saved. He died to free you from that slavery to sin. That slavery to making provision for the lust of the flesh and to gratifying its desires. You can no longer do the works of sin, the works that were done in darkness, the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 gives us a list of those fruits of the flesh. And it points out that that's opposed to the fruit of the Spirit, which comes after that. Just like darkness is opposed to light. You can't really have both at the same time. And Paul then points out a few specific works of darkness that he wants us to cast off. And he does it in pairs. He says, you can't walk in orgies and drunkenness. And these two are grouped together as they are an overindulgence of the flesh. It's taking something that's given by God, which is not wrong in and of itself, and twisting it and perverting it into something that is wrong. To overindulge into the point where the good gift of God becomes poison for your soul. That's a work of darkness that can't be done anymore. He says no longer can you pervert God's good gifts into evil things. Stop twisting it. Stop ruining it. Now you're called to walk in a new way. Now that you're awake, you can see the truth. And we can rightly use His gifts with self-control in their proper place. His next section is about sexual immorality and sensuality. That's his next pair. A feeding the desires of the flesh and a seventh commandment violation being specifically mentioned. Living in a faithless manner. Breaking covenant and breaking promises to others in order to fulfill desires and lusts of the flesh. Sinful desires. Such faithless actions are not to be found among Christians and not to be known among the people of God. He's saying, stop walking in this way. This is the way the world wants you to walk. It doesn't care about faithfulness to God. It doesn't care about promises. It doesn't care. But you must, now that you're awake. These actions are to be repented of and to cast off and left behind. And then he gives us not in quarreling and in jealousy. These two are grouped together because while they might have varied actions, they're two internal attitudes. They involve an arguing or bad attitude towards other people. And while drunkenness can be done alone and sexual immorality is usually with the consent of another, quarreling and jealousy is where we turn our attitudes against God's other creatures and create a separation and an ill will between us and countless others. Paul says this is a work of darkness, cast it off. There's a new way of walking that's to be without quarreling. Indeed, you're supposed to walk in its opposite. Remember, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. That we're called to have a ministry of reconciliation, not a ministry of quarreling, not a ministry of ill will, not a ministry of jealousy. We're to cast off the divisive spirit and to live in that peace that God came to make between God and man. And then at the end in verse 14, he gives us one other catch-all about make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The desires of the flesh being used to sweep up everything else that Paul doesn't have time to list here. We're not to walk according to desires of our flesh. We're no longer enslaved to them. Jesus came to free us from that in Romans 6, we're told. When you were asleep and lived in the works of darkness, we were slaves to sin. And we followed the desires of our flesh. And that was all that we cared for. But Paul's saying no longer. Now you've been awakened. Now you know the hour. Now you know the truth. You must not do this anymore. For the desires of the flesh arise not from Christ but from our sinful nature, and they're designed to keep us in sin, to feed our sin, to indulge our flesh. Anything that fits that, he says, put it off. Cast it off. Because you're to walk not according to the fruit of the flesh but to the fruit of the Spirit. Against the fruit of the flesh there are laws. Against the fruit of the Spirit there is no such law. That's how Paul talks about it in Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians. He speaks of putting off the old man and putting on the new. He does the same as what we read in Romans 6. Called to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Raised to a newness of life. And so we're called not just to put off but also to put on the armor of light. Verse 12, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now that you're awake and you're no longer asleep, you've been called to be in the army of God, to fight the spiritual battles. Now you're awake and you realize what goes on around you, and it's a spiritual war. So you must be armed with the armor of light. Light because darkness is where we used to be. Salvation is often described as people seeing a light or seeing a great light. Light is God's first creation in Genesis. God Himself is light. 1 John 1:5. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12. The temple itself pictured light as this is God, as they were to always keep the lamp lit. So the armor of light is to drive back our enemy of darkness and sin. It's to reflect who Jesus is. Or as Paul says later, put on the Lord Jesus. That's what the armor of light is. That's what the armor of God is. It's putting on Christ. We're called... If we're called to cast off sleep, then we're called to be wakeful, to be awake, to have wakefulness, of shaking off sleep and going about the day. When you wake up, the first thing you have to do is get out of bed so that you can go about the things you're supposed to do. To say, I'm not going to sleep anymore. It's time to get up. And that's what Paul is saying. You know the hour. The alarm clock has sounded. Get out of bed. The time for the things of night is finished. Now is the time for the things of the day. Since you have been saved and know that Christ is coming again, shake the things of the world off and put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Be about His business. The day's work must be done, and we are called to do it. We're called to walk with Christ, or to walk properly, in verse 13, as in the daytime, which is a walking with Jesus. Or in Ephesians 4, Paul calls it walking worthy of the calling in which you were called. We're called to walk in a way that befits the daytime, that befits the light, where you know everyone can see you, where you're not trying to hide deeds of shame and darkness. This can only be done by walking with the Holy Spirit, by trusting in His power, trusting in His grace. The only way to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, is through His grace. To put off the sinful nature and put on the Lord Jesus, it's by faith. Because Paul does want to remind us here that putting off is not enough. We have to put on the Lord Jesus. Without faith in Christ, we're still lost. Without faith in Jesus Christ, without His work, without His death, we're not freed from sin. Without His resurrection, we're still in darkness. But with Him, we have life everlasting. We have His righteousness and His holiness and the forgiveness of all our sins. And now we're called to walk as He would walk. Or as the Presbyterian theologian Charles Hodge writes about this verse, he says, all Christian duty is included in putting on the Lord Jesus, in being like Him, having that similarity of temper and conduct which results from being intimately united to Him by the Holy Spirit. Hodge is reminding us that yes, we are called to live as Christ, and we can do it because we're united to Him by faith. We've been buried with Him in baptism and raised to a newness of life. In His power, we can walk in a manner that has a similar temper and conduct as the Lord Jesus Christ. But not if you're not united to Him by the Holy Spirit. Without faith. Without faith, there's nothing. Paul does not want us to forget the glorious indicative and replace it only with imperative of go do. He says, don't forget, Jesus Christ has died for your sins. This is why you can. We shouldn't separate chapter 13 from chapter 6, from chapter 4, from chapter 3. This is how you've been saved. By faith. Now, you can have that conduct of putting on Jesus Christ. So Paul wants us to see here. He wants us to see that. He wants us to say, you know the time. He's reminding us that we're not promised an endless time here on earth. And in fact, He's reminding us that you don't know the day or hour of even your death, much less when Christ Jesus will come again. But He says, what you do know is that the time has come, you've been saved, and that Jesus has promised to come again. And either way, we will see Him face to face, whether it's by our death or by His coming again. And so don't put off living as Jesus. Don't put off until later, because you don't know if there is a later. The sinner down the street may not have two more weeks before you talk to him. There may not be another month before you get around to putting on the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. You know not. You know the time. And the time is, we're in the last days. Because Jesus will come like a thief in the night. And so Paul's telling us here, then be different. Live differently than the world. You are called to be like Christ. You are called not to be like the world. Put off the things of the world and put on the things of Jesus. Christians ought to be distinguishable from those around us because we have different values, different beliefs, different priorities. The world continues in its slumber and knows not the spiritual truth. You have been awakened by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and you know the truth. So live differently. We live in a world that promotes selfishness. A world that thinks we ought to live a life that shows devotion to the almighty self, to look out for number one. But as Christians, we ought to show our devotion to God, not to self. We ought to love God and our neighbor and never exalt ourselves. We shouldn't think of ourselves as number one. And therefore, we ought to have different actions. And Paul here, in telling us to cast off and to put on, is calling us to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Anytime you see such things, you ought to think, this is a call to repent and believe. Cast off the works of the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. He's saying, repent and believe. If he says you'd be buried with him in baptism and raised to a newness of life, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what we do when we first repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And our sins are forgiven. And life everlasting is given to us. But don't think repentance stops at a once at a time in your life event. We should always be looking for the roots of sin in our life, for the remnants of the world, for the lies the devil gives and how he gets his hooks into us. We should always be looking for the garments of the old man that are remaining, so that we can cast them off and throw them away. We should always be running the Christian race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We should always be fighting the good fight of faith. We should always be putting on the armor of God. We should always be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let this call to cast off and put on be a once-in-a-lifetime event. Let it be a daily mindset. Knowing that, yes, now I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but let me not think that I'm done. God is still working in me and is still calling me to cast off the remnants of that old man and to live further into Him. And don't miss this wonderfully comforting verse. At the end of verse 11, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. What a great truth. And a wondrous reminder. Christ is coming. The hour of His appearing is closer now than it was when you first believed. It's closer today than it was yesterday. It's closer now than it was at the beginning of the sermon. What a wonderful, beautiful truth. Is it not your joy to see Jesus face to face? He is coming. Don't you desire to be with Him? He has promised. And that time draws near. You may not know the exact minute or hour of when it is, but you can know it's closer now than it was. And so maybe you're going through suffering. Your suffering is closer to being over now than it was. Maybe you're struggling with temptation. That final victory over it is closer now than it was. It's coming. Your hope is closer today to being fulfilled than it was yesterday. Go out and live knowing this truth. Jesus Christ has promised He is coming. So we can live out our faith in Jesus regardless of what the world throws out at us, regardless of what comes our way, because we know something else is coming our way, the Lord Jesus Christ. What more can you want? Let's go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You and we praise You. We ask that You would help us live a life of repentance. That we would have a heartfelt sorrow for sin, that we would turn from it, hate it and turn from it more and more every day, and a heartfelt joy in God through Christ, so that we would turn and take delight in living according to Your good works and will. Give us that heart, O Lord, because it can only come through the power of Your Spirit. We thank You and we praise You for the promise that the Lord Jesus is coming. We put our hope and we look forward to that day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.